We continue now with our focus on our high school football coaches in the area, and really pleased and happy to be talking now with Gavin Monago, a longtime coach for many years at Masconomet and other places. And Gavin, welcome back. I hope your summer's okay.
No, it's been great. Yeah, thanks for me, Rick. Hope all's well with you.
All right. Yeah, all is good. And Gavin, your pedigree, goes back many years. You've got a long experience as a football coach that I want to get into as we talk here. But one of the things we've been doing, and I find of great interest, is to ask our coaches about their earliest football experience, whatever that might have been. And for me, I was 10 years old, living in North Carolina. My dad was in the Army, and the only football we had on Sunday, Saturday was, college football on Sunday. My dad loved to watch the Washington Redskins. And I remember at 10 years old, I would get a chalkboard, and I would keep track of all the plays as a 10-year-old,
oh, that's pretty cool,
trying to learn the game. I was 10, but the coaches I talked to, most of them have an experience at an earlier age. And so when you look back, what do you remember?
I was pretty young. I mean, I just remember always playing. Like, in my neighborhood, there's a million kids in my neighborhood, so we're always out playing. I was kind of the younger side of the kids, too. So I have one brother who's 1 year older than me, so I was always tagging along with him. And we used to play out in the street a lot. And one of the neighbors had a yard that was a little bit bigger, so we'd play in a field there with his yard sometimes. And it was really it was informal, but the kids, mm-hmm, we created our own rules, our own first downs, tackle tag, whatever. I thought that was always pretty neat. The kids just kind of ran the show, and they were out of the house all day. The parents were happy, so that was my first one. And then we got a little more formalized into youth football. I grew up in Revere, and we did the Pop Warner in Revere. And I also remember, it was kind of interesting, back years ago, my school, my elementary school, was a 1 through 12 grade school.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Immaculate in Revere, Immaculate Conception. The high school went away after I was in the sixth grade, though, I think. But I became like a water boy on that team, me and my brother and a couple of people. I had a cousin on the team. And so it was pretty neat. It was just kind of actually, the coach of that team was John DiBiaso's dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. I met John 100 years ago, way, way, way back then. He's probably in high school then. But it was interesting. And, then you get a little bit older into youthful, Pop Warner was called then. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun, nothing but positive things. My oldest brother is like 8 years older than me, and he used to go to Malden Catholic, and we used to, shoot over to his games too. I was probably 10 when he was 18 years old, so we saw a lot of football.
It's funny, the coaches we've talked to, almost to a person, have had that experience of hanging around another high school team and being involved some way, either with a coach or older brother or something like that, and it starts early. And I wonder just if the learning process begins so early, and sometimes you don't even know, obviously as a youngster you don't know you're going to be a coach, but you start absorbing this stuff, you start seeing it from all different angles.
Yeah, I did like absorbing it. I did. I liked the way the coaches, I go to their practices too, and not all the practices, but some of them, and you just kind of see how the kids react to the coaches and stuff. And it was a pretty tight-knit community too, so everyone kind of knew each other pretty well in the neighborhood. So it was interesting. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was all positive stuff. I had one of my uncles actually played at the University of Michigan, like back in the 40s. So,
ooh.
So I was kind of hearing about it. One of my uncles was at BC, and so I was kind of hearing stuff.
Yeah.
With football, and my dad was, played high school ball. He loved football. He loved it. He loved talking about it. He loved us playing. So that was pretty neat.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell me about your first experience playing in organized football, Pop Warner. What did you learn? What were you doing?
Pop Warner was neat. Again, I was a year behind my brother, so I had to watch for a year, So I kind of, by the time I got there, I was ready to go. So it was neat just being with your buddies, it was really a social thing too, It was we'd walk through the streets to the field to practice together. We'd meet at, one particular corner, and then we all walk together, and we'd get ice cream afterwards. We'd walk home afterwards and stop at the Dairy Queen after we just worked out for a couple hours. And I always had good coaches. We probably lost more than we won, I think. But it was all right. Honestly, it was just a, it was a real good group of kids I grew up with there. And again, all the coaches were really good guys, and they kept the game interesting for all of us. And you know, one of my oldest brother, actually, again, he my eighth grade year, I think him and his buddies helped out coaching. I think we needed some coaches back then, so they jumped in. So that was pretty neat too.
You brought back a memory I had totally forgotten. And as a youngster, wearing the uniform around town after practice to get an ice cream or something like that. It was so cool. I felt so big.
Exactly. You kind of felt a little purpose there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to high school.
So I went to a school that's no longer around, Dom Savio High School, St. Dominic Savio High School.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was in East Boston. So I was from Revere. So I grew up in a Catholic school in Revere. Like I said, that school had closed down, high school had closed down by the time I was going to ninth grade. And so it was kind of a natural move for a lot of us to go to Dom Savio because it was, you know, next city over. And they were just starting football. This was kind of unique because they were just beginning football. You know, I wasn't really going there for football at all. It was just kind of, it was just, my family was very Catholic and it was going to be going to a Catholic school anyhow. And, it was interesting. So my brother got there a year before me, and that was the first year they had football. And God bless him, he got killed. He played the varsity right away. He was pretty good. He was a very good football player. He played like center and defensive end, and he got killed. But it was exciting, though. You know, I went there knowing I have a shot to play soon. And I did get to play my sophomore year. The coaches played a bunch of sophomores and juniors. And but my class, too, it was different, became like the biggest class the school had ever had. Busing kicked in. This was like 76 or so, right? And all the Catholic schools then in Boston all exploded because everyone was trying to get on the busing back then. You know, we had kids from, you know, all parts of the city coming, kids coming from between East Boston, South Boston, Roxbury, Charlestown. Like, everyone's trying to find a home. And I know, like, BC High exploded then, Don Bosco exploded then. So it was worked out great. I mean, a lot of good athletes came in at the same time, and we had great coaching there. You know, Coach Russo was a super guy, and Coach Maraday, who coached, well, he's a Hall of Fame coach now. He's coached all the way through till a couple of years ago. Reggie Lanciani, great, great guys. And so my junior year, we made it to the Super Bowl. We're like 9-1. So my brother's senior year, he had a great run. He ended up being Gold Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. And then we lost to Middleborough by a point, 7-6.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was tough. Oh. That was the old way of the you know, the rating systems. There were four divisions, and just the top two got to go, you know. So it was pretty cool getting there, but losing was tough. And then my senior year, we were 10-0 and went back and we played Middleborough again in the Super Bowl. We lost again by like 5 points. That one was at BU, and that was hard to handle. It was tough. But,
well, it's a lesson in life, which is what you coaches teach the kids. But what positions did you play, Gavin?
I was a junior. I was the defensive lineman, nose guard. And my senior year, they made me into a linebacker, offensive lineman, and a linebacker. And I mean, it worked out. I mean, we had a lot of good teammates, super kids. Everyone really worked hard. A lot of camaraderie. And that always stuck with me over the years. I think the camaraderie those guys got out of us and making us one team. And I think that stuck with me over the years, and, like, you know, loyalty to each other. And that was really big. I think that really kind of kept me around the game, just how much that was stress to me.
You know, that's a common thread among you coaches. I was an Army brat, and I went to 13 different public schools in 12 years, but I played sports. Now, I wasn't good at anything, but I was good enough to make a team. And I found that kept me sane, because just what you said, you make relationships there with your teammates. You know, when you first go to a place, the people you first meet are not necessarily going to become your longtime friends. But in sports, you tend to make those connections.
Right. You know, so I was fortunate enough to be a captain, and me is Warren Cutlip and Bobby Sandinato. And we're three different kids too. It's kind of interesting. You know, I was the lineman. Bobby was the lineman too, and Warren was like really a skilled guy, defensive back. But, you know, we talk about the lifetime things. We lost Bobby a year ago, and that was heartbreaking. And I got to meet his family and stuff, and his daughters are older and stuff. And, you know, I couldn't believe how much they knew about me and the rest of the guys. So, Bobby just talks about you guys all the time, and, you know, my dad loved this and that. It was pretty cool hearing that, like, right, you know, right to the end with the guy, you know. So you never know, you know, how you really just never know how things are sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So that was pretty cool.
Did you play other sports, Gavin?
Us together. Yeah, yeah. I did basketball and track.
Go ahead.
I did basketball teams. So mm-hmm. I was like a power forward / six man type of kid. It was good. I loved it. We really had a good run in basketball over at Savio. It really was a basketball school, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. And then track, it's funny, one of the math teachers was a track coach. He just could figure everything out. Like I said, we had a lot of talented kids there. And the cross-country had a lot of talented kids there, too. So he got everyone together, cross-country team, who never lost a meet. And then he threw it the football guys who weren't doing baseball because there was no – lacrosse back then. It was just the two sports. And he made me a discus player. My first 2 years, I didn't like it because I couldn't score points. Because, again, my brother and his buddies were getting all the points, and I knew I couldn't beat them, you know. So my junior year, he really convinced me to play and say, hey, I'll teach you how to do the discus. We need points there. And he did, and it worked out. And, we did real well. We never lost a meet.
How much influence having an older brother, and you're not the first one, first coach we've talked who said this, Jim Rudloff comes to mind with his family, being the younger and having to, deal with the older in a sport or sports and in the family, you know, at home or out in the yard or whatever, how much does that contribute to your being a competitor, Gavin? Because you coaches are all so competitive.
No, it really does a lot. I mean, my brother and I, we're Irish twins, are very competitive. I mean, like I say, he got some great awards in his senior year in high school, you know, from the Globe, the Herald, the League All-Stars and stuff. He was on the first Shriners team, you know, and I got All-Stars and things like that, all Catholic and things like that, but I never got the Globe or the Herald or the Shriners thing, and always had that, you know, so it motivated me. It definitely motivated me, I think, all the way through to just keep going, because he was good. He was very, very good. And he was always good to me too. Always, like, you know, very competitive, but we're always close. You know,
yeah,
we still
yeah.
are to this day. We're very close.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story. And
my older brother is like kind of guy that's like, when I was 8 years old, he's the one who kind of put us over the top to go to this Dom Savio, because it was like between there, they were Malden Catholic, and he's like, some of his friends, including that track coach I was talking about, were teachers over at Dom Savio, some younger teachers there at the time, and he said, these guys are the right guys for you, these guys will take care of you over there, and, like, you know, and they did. They really used sports really well over there, between sports and religion. I think they made the school really go, you know. Academics were good, but, you know, kids want to play sports.
Yeah, but it sounds like that early experience for you is something that you had in your toolkit when you became an educator.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it definitely maybe go the route of teaching. And, yeah, I think having those guys start at such a young age themselves and being there for me and helping me, and it just showed, I think, you know, I hope I could help kids the way they helped me, because they definitely, because, you know, when you're a teenager, you can go either way real quick, you know. And they kept me busy. My folks liked the sports because of that. They kept me busy in a positive way. And there's a lot of distractions out there in the world, especially back then, where when I was growing up. And I was blessed to be around a lot of good people.
All right,
with my parents. They really kept me on the straight and narrow and going the right direction. And they really made sports important, I think. In a real positive way. Not overly important, but just, you know, something to hang your hat on, so to speak.
All right. What was the deal after high school?
I went to a prep school called Northfield Mount Hermon. It's out in Western Mass. And I went there because, so, again, going back to my brother, he went to Brown. But he prepped the year. He went there first. And, you know, Brown said, okay, grades are pretty good, but, you know, prep school, you need a year of prep school. So, he did, and it worked out well for him. And then they told me the same thing. Unfortunately, I didn't get into Brown that year, and I ended up at UNH. But I loved the, it was really tough. Prep school was tough. It was difficult. I had a great coach there. Coach Kaskaskis was really different, way different than the other coaches I had ever had. He was very methodical, very, he took the game more academically, you know, and he was great. He was a calming influence, too. He was good. So I think the combinations of what I had at Savio and up at prep school, it opened the door for me at UNH, and that's where I went to college. I went up there. I got a scholarship to go to UNH for football. I was, you know, really happy about it. You know, as my dad told me, when I didn't get into Brown, he's like, you probably don't belong there anyhow, and other doors will open. And, you know, sure enough, it did at UNH.
And these are all... Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it worked out. Like, my dad was right. It did work out.
And these are all lessons that I know, that, again, they're in your toolkit as a coach. How about UNH? What was the experience like up there, and what did you major in?
I loved UNH. I to this day, I loved it. Business administration, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting looking back. But you know, it was a good program there, and the teaching thing really wasn't in my head yet. But the tough part about it was, I'm up there, and I got hurt. I broke a vertebrae in my neck.
Oof.
And it happened my freshman year, and I was able to get back out there for spring, but things weren't right. And then I'm kind of on the shelf a little bit. You know, I can do things, but I can't play contact in my sophomore year. And then I get contact again back in sophomore year of spring ball. And then after that, they said he couldn't do it. It was a combination of just not being able to it would take forever to warm up, try to get, like, so I can – get everything going right. And then after practice, there was nerve damage. Like, when I say nerve damage, like, I just had to wait so I could feel everything.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So they just shut me down. But you know, Coach Bose, who was the coach up there at the time, he was a super guy. He couldn't have treated me nicer. And he's the one that got me into coaching.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that. I want to hear it.
Yeah. He brought me in, and he told me, the doctors won't let you play anymore. And, I was devastated. He says, but, when I kind of high school, I was looking for some help with coaches, and, I'm going to send you and this kid, Johnny Haggerty. I'm going to send you and John Haggerty down there, and you guys can. So he let me keep my scholarship, and he honored that the whole way through, and I went down the Hampton. We shot down there every day, and we practiced. Actually, we won like the state championship the first year we were there. We just walked into a super group, a super nice guy, you know, some good coaches, and me and my buddy John just kind of went for the ride. It was awesome. So we're pretty excited. That helped, you know, excite you more about coaching a little bit. And going back to Coach Bose, you know, again, another real positive influence on me as a coach. So I was really blessed with a lot of good coaches all the way. And they were all different, too, you know. They really were.
That's
and
amazing.
I got to be with a bunch of great guys, the guys I play with. Actually, I was with last weekend. We were together. One of my roommates is a kind of a famous coach. It's Chip Kelly. He coaches up at UCLA right now.
Yeah, I think I've heard of him.
Chip, we're roommates my senior year. We're great friends. So Chip has a thing every summer up in Maine. We have a gathering up there, and a bunch of guys make it. It was great. So, I mean, we're still pretty close up there. There's a group of guys, and it was a nice group for me to be with.
Wow. I'm just catching my breath here. That's incredible. What was your first coaching job, and how has your coaching evolved? In other words, explain to me the trajectory you've had, because you've done just about everything, Gavin, and you've coached for a while. So I'm sure there's not a lot that you have not seen.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a while now. I think I'm feeling older now.
Like, sorry.
80, you know, talking like 84, 85, yep. I think. And then that was in New Hampshire, and I graduated, and I I worked. I worked at Merrill Lynch for a year. And then but I didn't want to be in the office. That's when I realized I might want to be a teacher. I might want to be coaching. I coached every year for a year as an assistant and knew the local coach. He was needing someone there. And then from there, I went back to Dom Savio for a couple of years. And then I went to Northeastern University for a year. I coached over there. Again, Coach Bowes kind of I reached out with him a little bit. He kind of – there was some connection there where he let me know, and he was great again there. Because once you get in the college world, it is everyone knows somebody. You know what I mean? There's a tree out there for someone, you know, so he was very good. I only did it for a year because one of the things I did see there in college at the time was that all the coaches were from, like, all over the place, like all over the country, even at Northeastern back then. And, I'm thinking, like, man, they moved up. I don't know if I wanted to be all over the country for a job, you know. And then I really was, you know, honing in on, you know, my teaching certification and getting all that taken care of. And I thought more of being like a high school coach would be more my world, like sticking around Revere, you know, that area, as opposed to getting up and move, you know. Because those guys, I mean, 2 years go by. I mean, the life of a coach, the shelf life isn't long, you know. And you could be out of a job. And I've seen it now since I've said, my other friends who did do college coaching over the years, Chip was real successful, obviously. And these other guys were successful too. You're just moving sometimes. That wasn't what I wanted to do. So I got back to Savio, and then what happened, interestingly, you know, somewhere in the early 90s, the school closed, Dom Savio. And with that, the two head coaches at the time, Reggie Lanciani and Billy Merritt, they went elsewhere. Billy went to Austin Prep. Reggie went to the Cape. And but then they were able to reopen it, like in the nick of time, to get it going again. But they had already gone elsewhere. So they asked me to be the head coach. And I was. We had 17 kids on my first team there. it was just, you know, it didn't bother me at all. Super group of 17 kids, and we only had 70 boys in the building, I think. So it was, percentage wise, it was pretty good. That was my take on it. And but you know what? I think we had one win the first year. I think we had two the next year. I think we had like 4 to 6 the next year. And then after that, we were banging out, you know, 8 to 10 wins a year for a bunch of years. Got a Super Bowl in there. Got, you know, won a championship there, Super Bowl championship. Won some league games. You know, back then, the format was a little different there. I think they were taking the league stuff. We lost. We could have had 2 more Super Bowls at least. We had a couple tough breaks there. You know, a couple of those 10-win seasons. You know, one was against my friend Billy Merritt. We were best friends. He was at Austin. We lost one. It was Thanksgiving. That became a Thanksgiving Day game. We were both 10-0, and they beat us on a conversion. We went for 2 with 40 seconds to go in the game, and we came up with a shot. That was a tough one. They went to the Super Bowl and won, and we didn't. We had another game kind of like that. So the kids, I was really blessed. The kids we had up there were super. So, and at the time, I was teaching at St. Rose School in Chelsea, and I was getting some of those kids over there, the Catholic school kids, were coming over to Savio. So it was nice. It was good. It was a nice place to be. And then at some point, I think in the early 2000s, Merrimack, I know Jimmy Murphy at Merrimack, he's the head coach at the time, and we just got talking. And at that point in my life, I wasn't going to travel too much, but Merrimack's right down the road, I'm figuring. So I coached there for 2 years at Merrimack. I was teaching at Revere High at that time, and I just, you know, it was a good fit. Jimmy Murphy was the head coach then. I knew him since he was a kid, you know, since he was a little kid, and I had grown up with his uncle, and so it was just a good fit. It was a nice place where everyone kind of knew each other. A lot of his buddies from Reading High were on the staff. It was nice. It was a nice staff to be with. And I did that for 2 years, and then I got into administration in school. And that kind of made me stop things a little bit. You know, I became an assistant principal in the Revere school system. I couldn't do the coaching anymore at that level. And so I stopped coaching for 2 years. And then I ran to Coach Pugh because I moved up here to Middleton. Mm-hmm. And I was at a hockey rink because my son at the time was playing hockey. And I ran to Coach Pugh. and he's asking me about, we knew each other from 7-on-7s and stuff when I was at Savio. Because Coach Pugh was the first guy to start 7-on-7s, like, anywhere I knew, by the way. He was, like, the guru of 7-on-7s back in the 90s. And we met up, and he worked it out. So I said, Coach, I really can't get to practice till a little bit later. He says, well, you take the defense. So we worked it out. So I was an assistant with him for a bunch of years. Then when he retired, I ended up with a head job. And I was already up there now. Now I was administration up there at Masco.
You know, Gavin, Jim Pugh has been one of our best supporters of what we do at MSO New Sports since we started this in 2005. And he's a remarkable man, in my opinion. He's a Hall of Fame football coach, but he's also an incredible educator. I'm going to go out on a limb here. His personality is so laid back off the field. That I see a similarity with him and you. On the field, it's a different story. Do you think that you have some similarities with Coach Pugh? And tell me a little bit about your philosophy that you may have diverted from Coach Pugh as you became a coach.
Yeah, I think you're right about everything you say about Coach Pugh. He's awesome. He's a great influence, positive influence for everyone who has, you know, one conversation with him. You know, this guy's different. You know, I mean, you can be all worked up about something. He just has a way of just keeping things in perspective. He was different when I did come up there. You know, to Masco was definitely different from any other place I was at because of Coach Pugh. And he definitely had a different way about him than anyone, you know. And I said it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good for me to coach with him. And I learned a lot from him and just how to deal with people and treat people. And I like to go back to those conversations with him sometimes when I feel like I'm getting worked up myself, you know. He put a good spin on things. So I can't really say enough positive things about him.
What?
He reminds me of my dad a lot, too. I mean, not that Jim's that much older, but it reminds me of a story with my dad once, those Thanksgiving Day games. Goes back to we're playing Austin. It was a year or two after we were in the Super Bowl, so we weren't that great that year. But the kids, they worked so hard, like every year. We weren't great, but I think the game before, we lost like three kids in the Archbishop William games with broken bones. But I didn't know until like the following Monday or Tuesday because they didn't come out of the game. We go up to Austin. We lose a tough one up there on Thanksgiving. And my father just, you know, was late 70s at the time, and he stood in the snow the whole time in the game, and, you know, I have to walk literally by him that goes to the locker room, and he's like, you know, Gav, great game, and, like, I'm kind of crumbled back. He's like, Gav, you be good to those boys in there. He looked at me like, making sure, like, these kids gave you everything. And it definitely put me in the right perspective when I went to see the kids, you know. It's like, yeah, I got this guy, you know, out in the snow, 7-year-old guy telling me, be good to these guys. I better be good to these guys. And it kind of, and Jim has that perspective always, I think, of like, be good to people. And, you know, sometimes I'm better at it than others, but I do like to try to keep that perspective.
Well, we all are. And it's funny because I'm much, much older than Jim Pugh. And he seems like a father figure to me as well. He's a sage. I mean, he's a muse and a guru. And one of the things, Gavin, and I want to ask you about this because he said, one of the real enjoyments he had in football, aside from winning, I mean, who doesn't love winning? But he said the conversations he had with his student athletes, walking to and from the field sometime, were the most profound because it just was a serendipitous type thing where you talk to a kid about something else even while you're going to practice or into a game, and it's that understanding of youth that you coaches have that I really admire because, you know, everybody is so fixated on winning, but you guys do, you're more involved with character as much as anything else.
Yeah, Jim, I could see him doing that. He was the ultimate in, like, dealing with the whole child, so to speak, you know, the whole, you know, people write books on that stuff, but Jim really lived it. You know, he really, really lived it. He would have a conversation, and sometimes just talking to him about a kid, and next, you know, hey, you know what the story is behind that? Or, you know, and like, I'm like, wow, it kind of blow you away. He knew the kids really, really well. I'm not surprised. I never heard that story before, but I'm not surprised at it. But I think we all try to do that the best we can, but he was definitely tops at it.
Well, let me interrupt and ask you about your advantage of having these youngsters earlier on, and then you see them as athletes. How does that work for you?
I think it's good as they get older. honestly, it's great when they get older, when they're like 11th and 12th graders. I mean, and you see them just coming out, it's 7th and 8th graders, starting with myself, we're all kind of interesting people. But I do think, it does help that I am the football coach, so they do see me not just as an assistant principal. So I think that helps, create relationships a positive way. And I think that's real good, but it really does come to fruition, where I really get a charge out of it, especially when the banquet at the end, and you're kind of reminiscing about, I knew so-and-so back in the seventh grade to see how much they've developed and how much they've committed. Or sometimes I'll have conversations with some seventh or eighth grade teachers and say, how's that one doing? Kids turned it over, he's doing super now. It's just to see them grow as men because, when you're a seventh, eighth grade boy, it's just a whole different world. It's really cool when they really buy into it or more importantly, when they're giving back, you see them when those kids are now helping out, the ninth and 10th graders. And, I think that's when you really come a long way. And one thing that's cool that Jim did, and I stole from him, before Thanksgiving, after the last practice, before Thanksgiving, the seniors get to speak. And they can speak with anything they want. It can basically, generally it's it can be a quick conversation, thanks to everyone, or give some advice to the younger guys, or it could be a little deeper sometimes. But that's really cool because now I look at it, I know this kid in the seventh grade. Look at him up there now doing what he's doing now and giving tips to these other kids. You really do see them as men then. That's a real positive thing.
What's the coolest thing? And I'm not going to keep it much longer, Gavin. I've kept you too long as it is, I'm sure. But what's the coolest thing about now you've been in the business for so long, when guys come back as adults, and you probably have, I would guess, some long-term friendships now with people from the early days right up to your time at Masconomen. What's that feel like?
That's really neat. It is. One of our guys on my staff, Jackie Hallis, he played for me. Jackie's I think 40 now. He was on one of those teams. He was one of those kids I taught in the seventh grade, back in St. Rose School in Chelsea. And he played for me at Dobbs Savio. It's nice to have him around. It really is. I've seen that through the years. I saw a guy at the gym the other day, He was on one of my teams every year, so I'm only a couple years older than him. And that was pretty neat. And he's funny, he comes right up to me, and he's a big, big dude. He's always a big, strong kid. And I recognized him, but thankfully what he did, and I'm really grateful when kids do this, he introduced him, reintroduced, hey, coach, I'm Freddie. And I'm like, yeah, coach. And it helps a lot because he's 55 years old, I think, something like that. So that was cool. We just start talking, and we just start, where's his kids now? His kids, he was telling me his kids playing football somewhere, and it's cool. So now you're looking at a few generations of football. It's just like that,
You know what I find is when I run into someone like that and the kid, is now it my generation is a little older than that. And they remember something about something I did in class that was so oblivious to me, but it meant so much to them. And yeah. I think that's what people who are outside of education do not understand, or maybe even some of the people in education and coaching don't understand the influence that that person up in the front of the kids has on each of those kids.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it's a big responsibility we have too, because you don't want to, be guilty of turning the kid off, because you have this kind of opportunity to make something good for the kid, And again, I wish I was great at it 100% of the time, but that's where you try to learn and try to get better at those moments. And, because you're right. I think kids, I know I did. There are many moments when coaches were talking about little words here and there just stuck with me along the way.
Yeah. All right, Gavin. There's a couple of things I'm required to ask you here by Bill Newell. And I guess I'll just leave it down. Oh, no, I want to first do two more things, and I promise this is it. The Masco community, as an outsider who has followed sports since in Massachusetts since 1979 when I started working at WESX, the influence of the Northeast Conference, the Cape Ann League, and all the other leagues on the North Shore, Merrimack Valley and so on, Essex County, the Masconomen influence to me, and I respect all the communities and all the coaches and schools and so on, but Masco seems like a really special place because you have a regional school that's big, it's successful in academics, and it's successful in athletics as well. So it seems to me to be a great community to work in as an educator and as a coach.
Yeah, no, it really is. I've been here 9 years now, and it's been super. You know, my kids went through the Masconomen school system. And, you know, I'm really happy up here. I just see the kids every day. I mean, and I do, you know, as someone who's worked in other districts and, you know, has friends in other districts, I see the challenges that a lot of school administrators face and teachers face every day. I mean, we all have our challenges, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I appreciate being at Masco right now. It's a good, real good place to work every day. It's just a good atmosphere. You know, I think it's a good atmosphere. Kids are learning. Kids are very respectful. You know, that's the thing. You know, when I was talking with one of the refs the other day at 7-on-7. You know, they just have nice things to say about our kids, and it always makes you feel good. You know, like, oh, your kids are always respectful. I'm like, oh, it's good. They are nice kids. And, like when my buddy Jackie Allison came back to coach with us a year or so ago, and he came, so wow, these kids are great. You know, this is awesome. They're respectful. They listen. You can teach here like this. You know, he had coached. He was the head coach at Chelsea High for a bunch of years, and which is challenging. That they have their own challenges there. So it was nice for him, and like all the guys who come in, I think are pretty. I think they picked it up right away. Like, oh, these kids are good kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all you want, right? At the end of the day, I mean, you know, we're not going to be champions of everything every year. We're not going to win everything. But if you get good kids and they're willing to work and they're respectful kids at the end of the day, that's cool.
Well, the whole bottom line, man, is to get these people to become happy, successful, healthy contributors, man. That's all we want. And,
yeah.
And to have, you know, to have good lives. I'm with you on that one. Final question now. You coach all year long. We're not talking about the kids in particular, but when you got up this morning, what are you thinking about with respect to your team with, you know, camp coming up in a couple of weeks?
So we open with Phil Ricketts this year, which is an interesting opponent for us, you know. So, you know, I just kind of keep thinking of, you know, that they're on my mind a little bit, probably more than they should be. And I think of, you know, our kids work out, you know, 4 days a week, and today, Monday through Thursday. And, you know, just that's the thing. It's just just getting a little bit better, getting ready for that game a little bit, and how can we get better today? And, you know, I was just going through depth charts and stuff today, and, you know, some of the offense a little bit. What can you have done realistically by week one? You know, like what, you know, can't throw everything in by between now and week one. So I was kind of going through some things today about, you know, what can we get in for week one and still be, you know, make progress. And the kids have done a good job with the workouts, you know, so that's good. As I told the kids, at least we can think of things like, you know, that, you know, without them working out, you know, that's a problem, you know.
Right.
We can't think ahead of ourselves. But so step one is the kids have been good in the preseason as far as the weight room, you know, since January, and that helps a lot. And kind of getting ready for Bill Ricker there, you know. It's interesting, you know, because I'd rather think of that than, like, there's a lot of other things you got to worry about. There's equipment stuff you're worried about in the back of your head. There's, like, physical you got to be worried about, like, you know, so I prefer to worry more about, you know, what we're going to do that in football, you know, the football part of
it. Yeah, well, that's, it helps you sleep at night, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I get that. Coach, Gavin, I can't thank you enough, for sharing this with me and us, the listeners.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. This is nice.
It's great. It's great to know you a little bit more and, you know, to have this in common as educators and so on. And we will be talking about the kids in a couple of weeks.
No, it sounds great. I appreciate it.
All right. Gavin, enjoy what's left of the summer and we'll talk to you later. And thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Gavin. Bye-bye. That's Gavin Monagle, who is the Masconomen High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.